So thank you very much. Let's go ahead and pray real quick before, because I probably need it. God, thank you very much for this time of just talking about your lesson today from the Half Torah. And we just ask that you open our hearts and minds to hear it and obey, but also for me to speak the words that you have for me. We thank you and we love you. Amen. Isaac, I'm very echoey. You probably have to turn me down. All right, so today we're looking at Jeremiah 16:19. I keep looking back as if I don't have it over here. But I am calling this Power Over Fear, a spiritual repair guide. You know, I love this power over fear, this symbol, because it kind of means a couple different things, you know. It can mean choose power over fear. It can mean power is greater, it defeats fear. And I think it also means that your spiritual effectiveness is the power that God has given you divided by the fear that you bring to it. So the more fear you bring into God's instructions in your life, the more diminished your spiritual power will be. So that's where we're going to be looking at. And you know, this, it occurred to me that this is one of the repeating themes in Scripture. It's repeated over and over. And I think when God says something and he's repeating himself over and over, it's because it's important. We're supposed to learn it, okay? If he says it once and moves on, okay, it's something to listen to. It's God saying it. But when he keeps repeating it, we're not getting it. It's something that we really have to learn from. So these are recurring lessons. And it brings to mind the idea that Dennis Prager, I think he penned this term, but repetition is the mother of pedagogy. Pedagogy is a term for learning. But we learn through repetition, you know, from the time we're little kids to throughout the time, you know, our oldest years, we are still learning by repetition. And when you go through school, every year you kind of come back and repeat the same topics, but you're supposed to be climbing that spiral as you learn. You repeat and you learn a little more. You repeat and you learn a little more. You repeat and you learn a little more. And that's the walking through the Torah portions. You know, these are the foundations of what God teaches us. And all of Scripture builds on it. But if we don't have the foundation solid, we're going to miss the lessons that build on it. Or we're going to learn the wrong lessons, learn it incorrectly, because we're not building on the right foundations. So these themes are very important. This particular portion, the Half Torah, starts with power. Yahweh, my strength, my stronghold, my refuge in the day of affliction. To you will the nations come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, futility, and useless things. People will come to Israel, come to God's people, and say, we've been following lies, and we want to hear the truth. This is a prophecy. And God's prophecies are fulfilled multiple times. You can look at the prophecies and you can go back and say, it was fulfilled then and then and then, and it's probably going to happen again and again and again. So this is a prophecy, and I think it is speaking to us in our times, because we are in dire need of this. We are in dire need of God's believers to stand up and turn this nation back, because this nation is in the wrong course. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today, and learning from the lessons, the failures of others is very important in our lives. If you can watch other people mess up and avoid that mistake yourself, you save yourself a lot of pain. And there's plenty of people to learn from along the way. It goes on. The next verse says, will man make gods for himself? Yet they are not gods. You know, there are other scriptures that say, we don't have time to get into all of them, and it's throughout Scripture, but there's another scripture that says, I could take a tree, cut it down, throw some wood in the fire and cook my meal over it, and take a little bit left over and carve it into an idol, and should I bow down and worship that piece of wood? It's not a god. But that's what people do. And we make gods out of so many things in our lives that we put ahead of Him. And it can be government. It can be science. It can be so many things. It can be our phones. You know, it can be our work, our careers. It can be anything that we put ahead of God, that we serve before we serve God. And this passage is one of these many warnings for doing that. So I will surely make them know this time, I make them know my hand and my might, and they will know my name is Yahweh. All right, that's the next verse. But the next chapter starts right here, chapter 17, verse 1, turns a corner. And it says, Judah's sin, and remember, the nation of Israel at this time had divided into two kingdoms. You had the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah, with two different kings, two different territories. And the nation of Israel stopped following God, and they pretty much immediately fell to enemies being conquered. Judah, for a time, followed God, and they were preserved. God protected them, and they were God's kingdom. And the nation of Judah, outlasting the nation of Israel, bordering them, is where we get the term Jew today, from the nation of Judah. So now they are known as Jews. But Judah's sin is written with an iron pen. When they stopped serving God, they did it with everything they had. They just abandoned God. Written with an iron pen and with a point of a diamond, engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altars. Skip down to verse 4 and 5, as it goes into things. It says, so you, on your own, let go of your heritage that I gave you. So you let go of it. So I will make you serve your enemies in a land that you do not know. For you have kindled a fire in my nose that will burn forever. Now that's a Hebrew idiom. We think of people being mad and their nostrils flaring, you know, and that's basically what it's talking about. The fire in his nose is the nostrils flaring, the anger in his eyes and in his face that will burn forever. Now, God also is full of mercy. And he says when people turn back to him, he will turn his anger and he'll turn his loving face back to us instead of his angry face or his back. He will turn back to us. But that forever essentially means for as long as you would deny me, it will not stop. Thus says Yahweh, cursed is the one who trusts in man and depends on his flesh as his arm and whose heart turns from Yahweh. How much of that do we see today? People trusting in man. You know, not long ago, there was, you know, during the whole COVID lockdown, and I'll call it stupidity, New Zealand, one of their health minister stood up and said, we are your only source of truth. If you don't hear it from us, don't believe it. We will tell you what's right and what's wrong. Listen to us and don't listen to anybody else. If you don't hear it from us, it's not true. And that soundbite has been replayed many, many times in different arenas. But that's the mentality we have today. You know, we have Fauci standing up and saying, I am science. You know, I speak for all of science. If you don't hear it from me, it's not science. You know, is essentially what he's saying. And it's a pseudoscience. He's, you know, he makes things up as he goes. He changes his mind. And how does truth keep changing? You know, he keeps saying, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wear five masks, you know, all of these things. Okay, I'll get off that soapbox pretty quickly here. But we see that occurring today. And we have our government. They kind of failed. They'll probably pick it up again soon, but they wanted to set up their ministry of truth, you know, and tell us what's right and wrong and what we can say and persecute anyone who disagrees with the government. And I'm thankful that that has failed for now, but they always circle back and try it again. So we shall see. But these are ways that people trust in man instead of trusting in God. And again, your power is diminished by your fear, divided by your fear, but the power should conquer fear. So what is the recurring lesson? How do we do How do we accomplish power over fear? How do we do that? I'm going to go back. These recurring lessons back in Deuteronomy chapter 11. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Now, it's kind of funny because I taught on this exact topic for the Half Torah back in January, you know, not so many months ago. But we're going to repeat some of these same topics because this is a recurring lesson, and repetition is the mother of pedagogy. So the blessing, if you listen to the mitzvah, the good teachings, the good works of Yahweh, your God, that I am commanding you today. But the curse, if you do not listen to the mitzvah of Yahweh, your God, but turn from the way I am commanding you today to go after other gods you have not known. If we obey God, if we walk in His ways, there's an if, you know, it's conditional. It's not just, hey, I trusted God, I called on His name, He came into my life, and therefore I have the power. Well, that's a start. That's where we start, and a lot of people find that initial strength in their lives to turn things around. But if you continue to walk in the old ways, you're going to see that diminish very quickly. If you change your ways, if you turn about and go in God's way instead of your own ways, instead of other people's commands to you, you can continue to grow in that power and strength. Today, if we obey God and walk in His ways, He will go before us and fight our battles. That is the lesson He taught Israel, and that is the lesson we are to learn. But we can also learn from other people's mistakes. Israel made plenty of mistakes in the history. But if we walk in His ways, God tells us our enemies will flee. One will chase 1,000. And 1,000 will be afraid of that one. Amen. Hallelujah. We will live off the excesses that the land produces. We will have so much abundance that we will be worrying about using up last year's store before we can begin using this year's. Now, this isn't prosperity doctrine, but it is God's promise that He will provide for us. And we will thrive if we are walking in His ways, if we are listening and obeying. But when we walk in rebellion, we will see the curse. It is choosing one or the other. So we need to ask ourselves, how are we walking in his ways, and how are we walking in rebellion? And we need to eliminate the areas that we're walking in rebellion. And it may be one step at a time. Cross one item off the list, change it. Cross another item off the list, change it. And you can lose weight the same way, you know, say, well, I love to go get the combo meal, you know, at wherever you go, but I'm going to stop getting the fries. I'm going to stop drinking soda and drink water or tea, you know, unsweetened tea or something. One step at a time, changing your diet, changing your ways can make a big difference over time. And we can do that in our lives, in the way that we practice, the way that we think, the way that we act. So, He will bless us to the 1,000th generation. And there are more items to this list, but I only have like a minute left, so we're going to power through this, and I'm going to skip over things. But if we turn from God and go to our own ways, we choose the curse. God says our enemies will take us captive. We will even flee when nobody is chasing us. We will live in fear. It will be fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. It is the opposite of power. Famine, plague, and pestilence and theft is what we will live in. Our enemies will take our profits. He will curse us to the 7th generation. Now, of course, every generation has the choice to turn around, but we are choosing the blessing and the curses for our children. And so it's important to choose the right course here. We, in our nation today, we are seeing a strong movement toward listening to earthly authorities, as I mentioned before, the so-called experts, because they have been put in a position of having a microphone, therefore they are experts. And we are supposed to listen to them instead of God's instruction. Pseudoscience, the clicker will go there, but pseudoscience is the God of America today. Truth is whatever the experts say it is, and not what God says it is. We're devaluing human life more than ever. We're seeing an effort, what I believe is an effort, to kill off many people And they've succeeded in a great degree. People listening to, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to stay in your house. And we've seen suicide and depression go rampant. The fentanyl epidemic is because people are depressed, they're fearful, they're seeking some sort of comfort. And we're seeing our enemies push that across our borders, and people are falling for it. But we're also seeing, you know, this happen at every level. We're seeing our oldest people who can't defend themselves, can't necessarily make all of their own choices because of their declining faculties. We're seeing those be devalued and eliminated in many ways. And as if abortion on demand wasn't bad enough, did you know that many people in our government are now pushing for us to allow mothers to abort their children months after birth, even some saying up to a year after birth? Yeah, it really is. And this is, to me, it's similar, exactly the same as the people in the Old Testament sacrificing their children to Molech, putting them through the fire. This is a sacrifice, and I believe that it is satanic, and I believe it's being done intentionally to glorify satanic gods, demonic entities. That's not supposed to be a blank slide. Okay. If I can get this to click, it will go. There we go. God's ways are being... I finally clicked more than I wanted. Well, I did go there. Okay. I just got to get the clicker in sync here. Without going too many clicks. Okay, God's ways are being ignored. We are a rebellious, stiff-necked people. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Yep. We refuse to bow our heads to God. We have stiff necks. We have pride. We are going our own way. And our own way leads to destruction, you know? So we have some choices to make. Second Chronicles says, when my people, over whom my name is called, humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their evil ways. Subtext is they're choosing the blessing instead of the curse they've been walking in. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So what should we change? What should we do? Ask God what you should do. We can talk about what our nation needs to do, and you're probably right in everything you think, but it starts with the individual.
Amen. Amen.
We need to identify and change our areas of disobedience. We need to stop being afraid to do what is right. We need to stop being afraid to speak out. And I'm speaking to me here because I've been silenced for a while, and if everyone who knows me and what I've gone through. But we need to stop being afraid to speak out for what is right.
Amen.
It might be that God's telling you to go and make things right with a particular person. God tells us that our relationship with others mirrors our relationship with Him. And we cannot have a right relationship with Him when our relationship with others is in disorder. So He says, if you're bringing your gift to the altar, your offering basket, whatever, and you have something against your brother, or your brother has something against you, leave your gift, go make it right, and then come and finish giving your gift. Because God wants us to be right with each other. Finally, humble yourself and pray. Get on your face before God. God may be telling you to do many things. This list isn't comprehensive, but it's a simple a suggestion of things that He could be telling you. But ask God, what's the next step? What should I be doing? And you can be, if you're living in any area of fear, we've all faced it. We've all been afraid of something in our lives. You know, it might be afraid of heights. You know, it could be something simple. But fear is the opposite of faith. You know, and it could be something big. It could be an area that your life is stunted in because you can't move forward because of this fear. You're paralyzed in this particular area. These are things that we can change. And it all is about walking in faith. And God says, when you walk in faith, my power will follow you. And I will go ahead of you and fight your enemies. And you won't have to fight. So claim the blessings. Don't claim the curse. But God does put two choices before us. And it is up to us which one we pick. So I have.
What is it? You must choose. But choose wisely.
Okay. You might remember that from January, that little clip. I used that in January again. But again, repetition is the mother of pedagogy. The choice is yours. Choose wisely where you will walk. So I'm going to leave you with this final thing. Deuteronomy 31:6 starts with chazach. I love that word. It means stand up and be strong. I think of a couple things when I hear this. One thing, I hear my dad saying, stand up, put your shoulders back, stand up straight, quit slouching, look me in the eye, stand up like a man. Okay, and I heard that in my young teenage years because, you know, teenagers tend to walk like this, you know, and slouch their shoulders, and he taught me to put my shoulders back, stand up straight. That's what I hear when I hear chazach. But I also hear something, to quote, many of you may remember Dr. Laura Schlesinger. She was on radio for a long time. She used to say in growing up, her dad would tell, when she would be whining and crying about rules of school or at home or whatever, you know, and not wanting to comply with different things, her dad would tell her, stand up and take it like a man. And she said that when she was a kid, she hated that, you know, and she couldn't understand. She goes, I'm not a man, I'm a girl, you know, but as she got older, she came to appreciate it. And, you know, her radio show was all about teaching people to stand up and take responsibility for their own actions. Stop playing the victim. You may have been victimized, but you don't have to walk in it. You can stand up and turn that around. And that was the theme of her radio show. So I'm going to quote her one more time in just a second, but I would like all of you guys, and it'll sound like I'm dismissing you from the service, but I'm quoting her, our service isn't over, so I'm not telling you to go. But for now, I'd like all of you to stand up. I'd like you to stand up straight, quit slouching. Put your shoulders back, look me in the eye, and not in a meek voice, but in a courageous, powerful voice, say, start back here in your throat like you're going to spit something up and say, chazach! That's right, stand up, be powerful, claim the blessing. What God told Joshua as they entered the land, be courageous, do not be afraid or tremble before them, speaking about their enemies, the giants. For Yahweh your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. But that is the choice. That's when you choose the blessing. Don't choose the curse. So I'm going to finish with the way that Dr. Laura Schlesinger would sign off her radio show every day. Follows up on chazach. She'd say, now go take on the day. All right? You may be seated. Thank you.